Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was tetrarch of Abilene, and the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine shall be filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough road smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And he therefore began saying to the multitudes who were going out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And also the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the multitudes were questioning him, saying, what then shall we do? And he would answer and say to them, let the man who has two tunics share with him who has none. Let him who has food do likewise. And some tax gatherers also came to be baptized. And they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what has been ordered to. And some soldiers were questioning him, saying, and what about us? What shall we do? And he said to them, do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. Now while the people were in a state of expectation, all were wondering in their hearts about John as to whether he might be the Christ. John answered and said to them all, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, and his winnowing fork is in his hand to thoroughly clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations also he preached the gospel to the people. But when Herod the Tetrarch was reproved by him on account of Herodias, his brother's wife, and on account of all the wicked things which Herod had done, and he added this also to them all, that he locked John up in prison. Now it came about when all the people were baptized that Jesus also was baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And when he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being supposedly the son of Joseph, the son of Eli, the son of Matthat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Hesli, the son of Nagai, the son of Moth, the son of Matalias, the son of Simeon, the son of Josech, the son of Joda, the son of Joanan, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adi, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmadam, the son of Er, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Matat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Malaya, the son of Mena, the son of Matat, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon, the son of Abinadab, the son of Admin, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Ru, the son of Peleg, the son of Hebar, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shen, the son of Noah, the son of Lachem, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Amen. Let's go back to the beginning in chapter 3. So now we got a glimpse of John before, right? And so now we're, you know, introduced to the ministry of John the Baptist. And the reason why John was important, right, because John the Baptist in the Bible, he actually is able to connect. He in essence, he's kind of a bridge, right? So if you want to kind of lay this out, looking at the whole of the scripture, John actually represented the whole of the Old Testament, right? It represented the laws. It represented, you know, all the commandments. You know, it represented, you know, basically the primary message of the prophets was repent. Right, you know, like we think, like when we think of the Old Testament prophets, you know, like prophecy today and prophecy in the Old Testament is very, very different. Okay. Most times, like for us, you know, when we think of prophecy in the church, we think of like, you know, I'm going to get a personal word from God, you know, in the sense that, you know, a prophet comes and I'm going to pray for Nelly and she's going to get a personal word for God, word from God. That's true. You know, because we see like in the Old Testament, we see kings and you know, other people get personal words of God, but that wasn't the crux of prophecy, right? Prophecy in the Old Testament was really about bringing the people of God, bringing Israel back to the original plan. And so the primary message was repent. You know, you are doing this and you're doing and you're doing that. You know, don't do that anymore and do this. You know, don't forget, you know, who God is, the one who gave you the wool and the flax and the oil and the seeds. And, you know, and so it was a hearkening back to, you know, go back to what you did before. Go back to righteousness. And that's really the crux of the Old Testament prophets. You know, and that's why we have, in essence, a new dispensation with a different kind of prophecy. And now in Paul, you know, in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, do it for edification, consolation, and exhortation. You know, and so now we see what we call New Testament prophecy kind of laid out in a different form. And John really is the bridge of that. He's taking basically the whole of the Old Testament, you know, the message of repentance, you know, and going back to that. And he's ushering Old Testament here into this time here. And you have to remember, you know, it's not like, you know, the book of Malachi ended. I mean, you're talking about 400 years that takes place, right? Until Jesus comes on the scene, until John and Jesus come on the scene. And so, I mean, can you imagine what 400 years is like? You know, I mean, look at us, right? I mean, you know, our lives are vastly different 30 years ago. You know, like, not even 30 years. You know, when I was in college, when I was more like in high school, you know, I took typing class when I was in high school, you know, I mean, typing with a typewriter. Do you guys remember that? Like the IBM Selectric, and if I made a mistake, I had to take this white piece of paper and stick it inside the thing and type it again. And it had to be the exact same spot, or else if I move the paper, you have to throw away the paper, you know? And stuff. And I mean, can you imagine we've gone from that, you know, to now I can, on my phone, I can dictate the exact place where I'm at 24 hours a day through GPS. I mean, it's just astounding, you know, and I know we're talking about technology and you imagine how our lives have changed. Can you imagine in 400 years, you know, back in these days, what's happened here? And, you know, and they come to this place and there's such a change and these guys, you know, and the people here are really like totally at loss to what faith is. You know, they're totally at a loss to what true Judaism is. You know, what it means to really love God, right? It became a bunch of rules and regulations and not that there's anything wrong with that, because John ushers in the whole of the Old Testament back. He really is that bridge. You know, he represents the prophets, you know, and notice what John's message is though. It's not about all these intricate rules and regulations that the priests, you know, have put up there. No, it's about going back to the heart of the matter. You know, and so, you know, look what he tells them to do, okay? These guys come, and so they ask him, okay, here's a normal guy, normal person, what should we do? He says, he who has two tunics, share with him who has none, and let him who has food do likewise. What's he talking about? He's talking about share. He's talking about being a community. Right? It's talking about not just taking care of yourself, but actually taking care of other people as well. Because we're all the community of God. Right? We're all the family of the Lord. Right? And so then the tax gatherers, right? And these guys are collectors of taxes for profit, you know, and these guys are crooks. So he says, okay, what should we do? And he said, collect no more than what you've been ordered to do. Collect no more, right? In other words, be honest businessmen. Right, just collect what you've been. And then the soldiers come, and what shall we do? Yes, do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. You know, it's interesting. You know, like in Hong Kong, I hear a lot of people bickering about how much money they make. You know, I'm Pastor Sam, I'm worth much more than this. I should be getting paid more. Wow, you know, you guys should read Luke chapter 3. Be content. You know, now, interestingly enough, what's the central component of all these things that John is preaching about? It's money. Isn't that interesting? Right? You know, you've heard me say this before a lot of times. Money is so extremely spiritual, right? And sometimes we have no idea what that's about. Right? It is so spiritual because it really, in a lot of ways, it really runs to the core of our spiritual life and our belief systems. You know, I mean, you show me a generous man or a generous woman, right, and I'll show you someone who loves God. It's just one of these things. You know, you show me someone that operates out of that spirit of generosity, you know, I'll show you someone, right, who's a lover of God. It just goes hand in hand. And each of these things, you know, he's talking about money. He's talking about what we do with our finances. You know the reason why finances are so spiritual? Because in our day, and especially our finances are connected to our worth. In other words, your finances or your wages that you get is connected to your time and your expertise. You know, it's how you spend your hours of your day, and it also it has to do with what you do during those hours of your day, right? That's why it's so important. You know, work is so important. You know, work is not a result of the curse, right? You know, work was established even before the curse happened in Genesis, right? God gave Adam and Eve a job to take care of the garden. Work is a blessing, right? What became a curse was a toil in labor. Right, you know, that we would begin to look at labor, you know, at work in a very different way. And so a lot of you guys, like, you guys hate your jobs, you know. And I would suggest to you that you need to start praying, right, and ask God to do something in your heart, right, because God gave us work. You know, that's what we were meant to do on this earth, to work. You know, now you hating your job, you know, that could be that you're either in the wrong profession or you're not doing it with the right heart. I probably imagine that it's the latter part, that you're not doing it with the right heart. You know, in other words, you're not really thanking God for the job that you have. Because I guarantee you what, you're out of work for a little bit of time, right? And you're desperate to do anything. You know, I mean, it's very interesting, isn't it, right? And stuff. And so, you know, we got to be very aware of that. And so he talks about us being content. And he talks about us about our labor. You know, he talks about us about our the way that we handle the fruits of our labor, you know, in terms of our livelihood and our wages. You know, and these type of things. And I just really want to encourage you to be a generous person. You know, there's nothing like that. If you know, and women ask me all the time, you know, Pastor Sam, what should I look for in a guy? You know, in terms of a potential marriage partner, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I always say, you know, look for someone who's generous, right? Because that generosity really lays out, you know, parts of character that is just so, you know, just streams out of him. You know, but this is a key. Not just someone who's just generous to himself, you know, or just generous to you, you know, as a date or something, but someone who's just generous, period, right? That gives to the poor, you know, that has, you know, that's a real heart to, you know, to be a giver, you know, not just to their own family. You know, who cares? You know, you should be generous to your family. You know what I mean? You should be generous to your girlfriend or your spouse or whatnot. But the real spirit of generosity is outside your immediate sphere of influence. You know, how you portray that generosity outside of those bounds. And so then we get to that. And so, you know, John, the bridge. And then we get to the Holy Spirit that we're now introduced. And we get a little picture of who the Holy Spirit is. And the one picture that has is that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Right? Holy Spirit and fire. You know, and we see the first emblem of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you know, there's quite a few, right? Fire, water, oil, the dove that we'll get to in a second. You know, these are all, you know, different emblems. You know, the seal and this particular one, fire. And the fire is important because it speaks of a consuming, purifying power in the life of the believer. You know, if you've ever I've seen a fire, you know, at work, you know, not just a little match, but actually seen a fire, right? It's powerful, you know, and it burns everything away, right? It just burns everything, and that's what the Holy Spirit's life is like in our life. It's powerful, but more than just the power, it refines us. You know, I grew up in Southern California, and so in Southern California, if you want to see a night and day to Hong Kong, it's got to be Southern California, right? Because if you're familiar with the Southern California, is a desert basically. It's very, very dry. You know, and so now I'm so used to the humidity in Hong Kong. When I go home, you know, for like the summer and whatnot, I get so itchy because it's so dry. My skin is not used to Southern Cal anymore. You know, but Southern Cal, you know, one of the aspects is there's always brush fires in the summer. You know, and it's actually quite healthy. Right. In other words, you know, towards the you know period of years, you know, on the ground, all this you know kind of junk, right? You know, leaves and all these things kind of pile up. You know, but what happens though is those leaves actually don't prevent other plants and other seeds to grow. And so what God does is he sends a fire. What's natural is a fire comes, burns up all the stuff that's on the ground. You know, and then what happens? And then seeds come up, and trees, and plants, and flowers. You know, and that's a natural course of nature, right? God planned it this way. What happens is that we build everywhere, you know, and so we stop these fires. But fire has a purpose, even in nature. You know, and so a lot of times if you see Forest Service or whatnot, I used to be Boy Scouts, so you know, I love camping. You know, and I went through this. So I learned all this kind of stuff. A lot of them, they'll do control fires, you know, where they'll block off areas of the forest and they'll do a little brush fire, you know, and it'll burn away all the chaff. It'll burn away all the stuff so that things can grow, you know. And in that same way, right, we need that the power of the Spirit to come into our lives every once in a while, like the consuming fire, and burn away all that stuff that's unnecessary, you know, all the dead stuff that fell to the ground. You know, and once all that stuff is burnt up, then things can start to grow. You know, things can really blossom and things can really flourish and, you know, and things can really, you know, come to the surface, be fruitful and beautiful in our, you know, kind of vernacular in terms of nature, right? So they can, you know, provide oxygen for us and, you know, and all these kind of things. But I mean, can you imagine, you know, like imagine yourself as like that forest. How much gunk and junk, you know, is kind of laid out all on the floor here that doesn't allow you to grow, right? And we need the fire of the Holy Spirit at times to come and bring conviction. You know, we need the fire of the Spirit to just burn away all the stuff that prevents us from growing, right? And this is emblem. Another emblem that we see here is Jesus is baptized and the Spirit comes upon him in the form of a dove. You know, and the dove speaks of his tender, gentle, peaceful nature. You know, and we'll say it this way, right? That, you know, the peace of God, Philippians 4 talks about the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension, right? Will only be known when you fully surrender to God, right? When you fully surrender to the Holy Spirit, right? It's this, you know, and it may be turmoil getting to that place, but it happens. You know, one of my favorite movies of all time is Forrest Gump. You know, I don't know if you ever watched Forrest Gump. You know, and there's a really, I mean, one of the, actually, the reason why, actually, is this one scene in the movie that really, really touched me. And if you've never watched Forrest Gump, I encourage you to go watch it. You know, but there's one part in there where Captain Dan, you know, and he's on the boat, him and Forrest, and they're in a huge storm. And Captain Dan is you know he doesn't have any legs because you know he was shot when he was in Vietnam, and so he's on the and if you don't know, you guys seen the movie, right? I don't have to repeat. Okay, I don't have to repeat so much. And so he's on the top of this mast. You remember this movie? And he's putting his fist towards God and saying, "All right, come on, come and get me," you know. And he's fighting with God, and he's angry. You know, I mean, he has to endure some storms in his life. And if you remember later on, you know, a few clips later in the movie, Captain Dan is swimming in the sea, and he turns to Forrest and he says, "Forrest, thanks for saving my life," and he's at peace, right? You know, I think Captain Dan surrendered to the Lord, right? He had it out with God. You know, there are storms. Yeah, there's definitely storms in our life, you know. But when you surrender to the Lord, it's the peace which surpasses all comprehension. Right, the peace that surpasses any of our understanding, you know, and that's what happened to Captain Dan. It could happen to you, you know. I mean, it could happen to each one of us, You know, but true peace, true, you know, it comes when we surrender to the Lord, when we give ourselves to the dove. Amen? And then we get the genealogy of Jesus, right? That, you know, this goes back. This is a Joseph's genealogy, where Matthew is actually Mary's genealogy. And, you know, we don't have to learn so much about that. So let's close our eyes today. There's a couple of different aspects. One thing I didn't share too much about was he talks about our repentance. And he says, you know, keep in line with the fruits of repentance. Let me encourage you this morning. Encourage you to really go before Jesus. Are there some things that you need to take care of? Maybe there are some issues in your life that you need to surrender to the Lord. That you need to really give over to Him. Ask God to speak to you. Ask God to whisper into your hearts. Maybe you're being convicted of something. Surrender even more so to God. As Mon leads us in a song of worship, I just want to encourage you to go before Jesus and just really continue to give Him over. That you'd have peace that this world does not understand.
Spirit on me.
pray this morning. Let's pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray especially for our church. Let's pray that we would prepare ourselves, right? I mean, John was the forerunner spirit. He's the one that prepared the way. And let's, this morning in our prayers, let's prepare the way of the Lord. Let's prepare our hearts. Let's prepare the hearts of our church, right? That we would see a move of God flow through this place. That the Spirit of Jesus would just minister to us, would bring conviction, would bring the fire of God, and also the dove of the Lord and the seal that says you are owned by God, you belong to the Lord. Let's pray in that way. Let's pray that as a church that our hearts would be awakened to God. Let's lift up ourselves and the church before God. Let's pray for our local ministries, and let's pray for the churches in Hong Kong, for the Cantonese speaking, the Mandarin speaking, the international churches and the other ethnic churches. Let's pray for YWAM, Hong Kong, for Sports Services International and Shanti Ministries. Continue to lift up face-to-face in Zhengsheng College and Feed the Hungry and Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Let's pray for these ministries that God would use them powerfully, that people would be saved, people would be helped, people will be sanctified and drawn closer to God, and whatever difficulties or whatnot things in their life, that God would just rescue them. So let's just lift up these different ministries and ask God to bless Hong Kong. Let's pray for our ministries at church. Let's lift up the worship team and especially the team that's leading this weekend. Pray for our welcoming team and our greet and eat, the men's and women's ministries and our local outreach. Let's pray that God would continue to bring servants into these ministries to serve with gladness and with purity of heart, and real effective ministry would happen to one another through these ministries. Let's pray for our house churches meeting on Friday and Sunday. Let's pray for McCain House Church tonight and for Beijing House Church on Sunday. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon them as they really prepare the way of the Lord, even in their own hearts. Let's pray for our weekend this weekend. Let's pray for our time on Saturday. Pastor Dominic Yao from Trinity is going to be here in Hong Kong. And he's meeting with our core leadership teams. And let's pray for real fruitful times with our steering committee, our board, and our staff. Pray for the river coming Saturday night as well, and the IP prayer meeting. Let's pray for our Sunday services, and pray for the kids at Noah's Ark and for the youth group. Let's pray for Monday for Cascade, and let's just ask the Lord's hand to be upon us as we gather together as God's people this weekend. And lastly, let's pray for our move. Let's ask God's hand to continually move and minister to us. And we actually have a meeting today with our architects. If you could pray for that at 11:30 as we figure out the next steps moving forward. You know, and we also have a very important meeting with the Vine coming up soon. And so let's just pray. Let's pray for us. Let's pray for the Vine. And let's pray there'll be some kind of convergence at some point. Let's minister. Father, we bless you, God. We thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, that you, God, are concerned, God, with how that we live our lives, Lord, and that you want us to move in fruits of repentance, God, that there is evidence, Lord, of a sanctified life. And I pray that for you to help us, Lord. We pray Holy Spirit would come, Lord, and just like that flaming fire, God, all-consuming fire, burn away all the stuff that's unnecessary in our lives, that we may grow, that we may flourish and prosper, God. Lord, we bless you, Father. Watch over us this day. Watch over us this weekend as we gather as God's people, Father. Let there be anointing, and let there be grace, let there be wisdom that's extended, Father God, and tools to live this life effectively for the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you. Watch over us, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great, great day today, and we'll see you over the course of this weekend.